Okay, hello everybody. Hello everybody. Good morning. Again, Erev Shabbos, and also of course again Chodesh. Chodesh Tov to all. It is time goes. It's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the month of Chanukah. Of course, we should be zocha to a month of Besoros Tovos and Yeshuos, and it should truly be Me'afela Li'ora. Hashem should take us from the darkness of this galus to the light of redemption, as symbolized in the Chanukah Lecht. We have a little taste of that every week in the Shabbos candles and the Shabbos lecht. So we're on page 47 of our Sefer. The Sefer that we are learning is Nefesh Shemshon Shabbos Kodesh, making the most of Shabbos, insights into the meaning and purpose of Shabbos, teachings of Rav Shemshon David Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So I'm going to begin on a vignette about Shabbos, and today's shiur I'm going to share some insights related to what we're going to be learning in the Sefer related to a topic I spoke about in almost every single shiur this week, except for one, and that is that this past Sunday, the 25th of Cheshvan, was the yahrzeit of the Harnof Kedoshim. The Shiva went through the week and through Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The mourners were still sitting Shiva on Rosh Chodesh Kislev as the Pikur was on So I begin with a vignette related to Rav Moshe Twersky. All the vignettes I've chosen to share and relate to share today are related to Shabbos Kodesh. So I'm quoting from the Sefer Amalek in our midst. It's a biography of Rav Moshe Twersky, Zatzal, Shemin Komdamo, by a Talmud, Rabbi Yoshua Berman. So I'm just going to turn to where I want to be. This is sort of the introduction to today's class, if you will. Okay. Inconvenience or strenuous effort did not deter Rav Twersky from honoring Shabbos in the way that he felt appropriate. However, he would not implement his lofty standards at others' expense. So sometimes when a person wants to be machmer on themselves, if they're machmer on everybody else, so it's not a positive chumrah. But when you read about the gedolim who are machmer upon themselves, they're machmer upon themselves, and they don't enforce that upon anyone else. So the story is told that it was a Friday night at Rebbe's house, a Talmud relays, and we were waiting for Rebbe to arrive. The Rabbitson came out of the kitchen and started speaking to us quickly. This is what she told us. This is what Rabbitson Twersky related to the Talmidim as they were waiting for Rabbi Twersky to come home from Shul, or I'm not sure where, I think so. We had some painting done in the house this week, and all the furniture in the living room had been pushed to the center of the room and draped, covered. The painters hadn't finished the job, and it felt like too much work to uncover all the furniture and move it back into place for Shabbos, and then after Shabbos, move it back to the center and cover it up, so we decided to just leave the furniture where it was. When my husband returned home this afternoon, meaning Erev Shabbos, he asked what was going to be with the furniture for Shabbos, and I, the Rabbitson, told him it was too much work to move all the furniture back. We would just eat in the kitchen for Shabbos and leave the other room as it was. He didn't say anything, but as soon as I went back to the kitchen to begin or resume my Shabbos preparations, I realized that he was uncovering and moving all the furniture back to its proper place in honor of Shabbos. And the footnote tells us that the Gemara relays in Masechah Shabbos the following story. On Friday, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak would carry things out and carry things in. And Rashi on the Gemara says to clear away the weekday items and bring in the more festive furnishings. Explaining this behavior, he said, if Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak said, if Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi were coming to my house, wouldn't I move things around to make the house look nice? So the lesson, of course, is he was moving the furniture around to make the house nice for Shabbos is what's related in the Gemara. And this is what Rav Twersky Zatzal was doing. He didn't make his wife move the furniture. He didn't say anything to her, but he himself was uncovering all the drapery and putting the furniture back in place. Said Rabbitson Twersky to the Talmidim, when we tried to help, he absolutely refused. He insisted on doing it himself. And he said, it's my kavod Shabbos. It's my kavod Shabbos. Let me do it. I felt, said the Talmud, that the Rebbetzin was trying to teach us a lesson about what it means to be a Rebbe, and then to come home and be a father and husband who rolled up his sleeves and does just what needs to be done. Just as she finished speaking, Rebbe walked in with his usual enthusiastic Good Shabbos greeting. The Rebbetzin said Good Shabbos and returned to the kitchen to finish the preparations. Despite his singular application to Torah learning, he was involved with the Shabbos preparations every week. In addition to his regular tasks of setting up the Shabbos candles and arranging the food on the hot plate, he would involve himself in the going on of Shabbos preparation and do whatever was necessary, from cooking to mopping the floor on occasion. On Shabbos, when his wife was away and the children were still young, he cooked all the Shabbos meals himself. This happened at times when the kids were grown. Rav Avram Twersky, a son, shared a charming example of this. One Shabbos, everyone was away, and it was just my father and me. Because of his practice not to eat red meat, other than that procured from Rav Yerman, and because of the great expense it was reserved for Yom Tov, we would have two cholents every Shabbos. My father's cholent, in the most recent years, consisted of three pieces of sweet potato, a chicken leg, and a bit of paprika. That was it. Sort of relates to last time's shiur about eating healthy based on the Rambam. The other, a big cholent for the family, was a delicious cholent with everything we're all familiar with, barley, onions, potatoes, and meat. My father never imposed his chumras on the family, and he wanted the family to have the best. Anyway, on that Shabbos, it was just my father and me. He did the cooking. He prepared two cholents as usual, one for himself and one for me. On Shabbos, I started eating from the cholent that was for me, and I noticed immediately the unmistakable taste of meat. It was glaringly absent. Tati, I said, if you're going to make my cholent with chicken, why did you make two cholents? He was flabbergasted. Of course I put meat in your cholent, he said. I reiterated what was in my cholent was poultry and not meat. We opened the freezer and discovered my father used turkey that looks very similar to red meat. So it's sort of related as a humorous vignette, but the fact is that he still made two cholents in honor of Shabbos, the usual cholent for himself and the cholent for his son that was home. It was the most natural thing in the world. Rav Twersky radiated, last sentence, and then we're going to the Sefer. Rav Twersky radiated a sense of wanting to do for Shabbos, while concurrently creating an atmosphere where his children felt he was always there to care for them. So, Tehi Zichro Baruch, Zchuso Yagin Aleinu. He was one of the five Kedoshim murdered in the Har Nof attack. Now we go into the Sefer, page 47. Okay, we can explain with the following allegory. So if you recall, last time we spoke about the Rambam and living a balanced, healthy life. But the class before that, which was a month ago on page 46, what we're learning is how strict is the punishment for one who violates the Shabbos. So the question is, why is the punishment for one who violates the Shabbos so strict? It was similar last time we learned to a Kohen Gadol who doesn't serve properly, a Kohen Gadol who's missing the Begadim, or a Kohen Gadol who has improper thoughts. Very, very strict punishment for a Kohen who transgresses the proper order and Seder Avodah, just like the transgression for someone who transgresses Shabbos, the punishment is very strict. So the question is why. So now we go to the top of page 47. Vital organs. We can explain with the following allegory. A man has a small growth on his leg. His doctor determines that an operation is needed to remove the growth. It goes without saying that you should use a good surgeon. An operation is a serious thing. But even in if the surgeon's a drop careless, if his hand slipped an inch to the right or an inch to the left, it will not endanger the patient's life. It will cause damage, but such a mishap would not be fatal. However, if the surgeon is operating on the heart or the brain, which are the lifeblood and the lifeline, no pun intended, of the body, he must be extremely precise. A deviation of a fraction of an inch can make all the difference in life or death. Brain surgery requires such tremendous accuracy, it is performed under a microscope. What is the difference? In these cases, whether it's heart surgery or brain surgery, the surgeon is entering the person's Kodesh HaKadoshim, so to speak, the Holy of Holies, the most vital place, the most off-limits place, the most dangerous place if you make a mistake, just like the Kohen Gadol who does the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if he has even improper thoughts. It means he deviated a fraction of an inch, or more than a fraction of an inch. He's Chayiv Misa. That's why they attached a rope around his ankle, or around his waist or his ankle, so that if they had to pull him out, they couldn't enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But if he died in the middle of the Avodah, they would have to pull out the body from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What's the difference? Because when you enter the most sacred space and the most important space, there's no room for error. So a surgeon who's operating on the heart or the brain, there's no room for error, there's no margin for error. That's a Kodesh HaKadoshim. You touch upon the source of vitality and the dwelling place of the soul. Extreme caution must be exercised when you are operating on such vital organs. Excuse me. So I was thinking to myself, that, not I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to tell you in a minute what I'm going to quote, but this analogy, says of Shimshon Pinkush, helps us understand why one who violates Shabbos is under such scrutiny. Because unlike other mitzvahs, which are all very important, Shabbos is the very lifeblood. Shabbos is the heart and the brain of Klal Yisrael. So there's no room for error when it comes to Shmir Shabbos. This idea of a doctor doing surgery reminded me of something that's told over in the Sefer Living On. I quoted it from a number of Shirim this week. Living On is by Feldheim, Messages, Memories, and Miracles from the Harnof Massacre. It's a lot of hespedim to the victims given by Rabbanim and the wives and their children in the aftermath of the Bikua, details of the attack. But this mashal of a doctor operating reminds me of the following vignette that's related in this little kuntras. It's in memory of Rav Moshe Tversky, also, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's written by Rabbi Yoshua Berman. So it was a hesped by Rabbi Yoshua Berman, who's the same person, the same Talmud who wrote the biography subsequently. So Rabbi Yoshua Berman in this hesped relates as follows. Now Rabbi is in Shamayim, occupying his incredible place in the Yeshiva Shalmala, while we are left behind, reeling from the trauma of the horrific tragedy and our indescribable loss. Perhaps we can gain a measure of comfort from something that Rebbe himself said in the wake of another horrific tragedy. After 9/11, at the time of intense sorrow, we were all looking for solace, nechama, and direction. Rebbe, I asked Rav Tversky, what are we supposed to do? Rebbe's response was simple and short, but contained a depth of meaning that touches upon the deepest place in the neshama. Rebbe said to me, talk to Hashem. I don't mean just during Shemona Esrei. I mean, just talk to him. Why am I relating this now when the Rav Pinkas was just talking about a medical procedure? Because Rabbi Berman writes, intellectually, we realize we're like the person looking through the keyhole in the hospital. When you look through the keyhole, so to speak, to the operating room, and you see a hand holding a knife cutting into someone's brain, and you can't see much more than that. So it looks like outright murder. You look through the people into the OR and you see a hand cutting in someone's brain, cutting open someone's heart, and you think to yourself, you're murdering that person, you're killing that person. What are you doing? Of course, that's the nimshal is. We just have a keyhole glimpse of this world. So to us, what looks like a terrible tragedy really has a bracha. Of course, the surgeon is helping the person when they do brain surgery or heart surgery. But if you only look through the people and you don't see the bigger picture, so you see murder when really what's happening is life is being given. Of course, we know Hashem knows what he is doing. Everything is ultimately for our good. But that awareness is way up in the abstract realm of our rational thinking. Our emotions are heaving and throbbing with pain, and the intense anguish is our reality down here. So when you come to do surgery, there's no room for error. There's no margin of error. You know, you bake a cake, could be a little off in the sugar, you forgot an egg, maybe you left out a quarter cup of oil, it might not be so perfect, but lamaisa, it's going to be edible if it went into the oven. When it comes to entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no margin for error. Rav Pinkas is going to teach us that that Shabbos Kodesh, and that's why the punishment a person is held so accountable is so severe. So going back to the Sefer, this analogy explains the great stringency the Torah applies to the laws of Shabbos, as well as to the laws of the Beis HaMikdash. One more vignette. So we just did another sentence in the book about Rav Moshe Tversky when we talk about the stringency. And you'll see this example here, the stringency to which we must keep Shabbos and to which Shabbos is held. Friday night, Erev Pesach, a time saturated with Kedusha. The Tversky family was eating their Shabbos meal, enjoying each other's company in the special atmosphere, when Rav Tversky abruptly arose and sat down in the recliner in the hallway. He did not look well, but at that point, no one had any serious concerns. By the time the meal was over, his condition had worsened. The medics who came to check on Rav Tversky were concerned he might be suffering from a ruptured appendix. They said he had to be taken to the hospital immediately. The thought of having to ride in an ambulance on Shabbos was a horrifying prospect to Rav Tversky. Recognizing his reluctance, they had no choice but to be upfront with him regarding their assessment of the situation. They said, Rabbi, your situation is pikuach nefesh. With no other choice, he got up to go. The intensity of pain notwithstanding, He retained the presence of mind to remove his glasses before he left. He was always careful not to wear glasses outside of Shabbos because of Chutzah. When he finally reached the exit and saw the ambulance waiting, the harsh reality set in. He was going to have to get into a vehicle on Shabbos. At that moment, I'm quoting from the book, he burst into violent sobs. He put his head down on the railing, the same spot where he lit Hanukkah candles each year. That's what it says. I'm not making this up because it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And he wept. Rav Twersky was a man who was always in total control of his emotions. But at that moment, when he saw that Shabbos was about to be violated because of him, he broke down crying. Never before did any of his even closest family members see him cry like that. Ever. Period. Rav Twersky pulled himself together to do what he must do. Once at the hospital, they determined it was not a ruptured appendix, but a kidney stone attack, excruciating, painful condition, treated it accordingly. He did not cry from the sheer physical agony, but from the pain of having to get into the ambulance and driven to the hospital on Shabbos, he cried like never before. Because the Kedusha of Shabbos, last sentence, was not an abstract concept for Rav Twersky, but a most concrete reality. I mean, there's so much in here about his Kedusha Shabbos. He would be completely ready for Shabbos before Yerushalayim candle lighting time. He would sit in the study and learn in anticipation of the arrival of Shabbos, completely involved with the final Shabbos preparations. When it came time for candles, he donned his frock coat in honor of Shabbos. Shabbos was a weekly event he would eagerly look forward to, and he prepared for it as one would to welcome an honored guest. So now we're going to start, go back and learn something extremely interesting, an extremely interesting medrash there of Pinchas quotes about Shlomo HaMelech. Back into our sefer. Sorry, it's my morning tea. Back to our sefer. Chazal tell us that Shlomo HaMelech planted every kind of fruit tree that exists, even pepper trees in Yerushalayim. That's why if you're looking inside, if you have the sefer, that's what it says. If you don't have the sefer, then take my word for it. I'm not making it up. He now quotes Medrash Tanchuma that Shlomo HaMelech planted every kind of fruit tree that exists, even pepper trees, in Yerushalayim. So we all know that each kind of tree needs its own climate. Some fruit trees grow only in Africa, others in India. There's no one place that all kinds of fruit trees flourish. How did Shlomo HaMelech get all those trees to grow and bear fruit? So we're going to go to the Medrash inside. This was a source I never had learned before or saw before. We're going into Medrash Tanchuma. It's actually Medrash Tanchuma. If you look at the footnote, it says Kedoshim, Siman Yod. Okay, so I'm going to screen share with you, and let's learn this very interesting medrash together. There are Shimshon Pinchas quotes here about Shlomo HaMelech. So I'm going to screen share. 1 second. Here we go. Could you see my screen? It says, yeah, you could see the pesukim here. Okay, very good. So there's a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Avayikra, that the medrash is based on. The pasuk says, here you go, okay, V'chi savo el ha'aretz, it will be when you will come to the land, unetatem kol eitz ma'achal, you will plant every tree that's good for eating, kol eitz ma'achal, every tree that's good from eating, and you have to do arla with the fruit. For 3 years it is arla, you cannot eat. So for the first 3 years of the fruit's growth, the tree is not for you. It's basar or laschem is the skin of the foreskin that has to be removed. It's off limits. It's not for you. The first 3 years, the fruit is not for you. But the pasuk begins by saying, Yud tes chav gimon vayikwa v'chi tavo al ha'aretz, and it will be when you will come to the land, unetatem kol eitz ma'achal, you will plant every fruit tree. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas now quotes this medrash. Do you see that it says here, Kedoshim, Simon 10? Yeah, okay, very good. So let us learn this medrash. So I prepared it here, my medrash Tanchuma, but for purposes of screen sharing, you can see it on Sefaria. So such an interesting medrash. Kisavo al ha'art. Okay, that's the pasuk that I just showed you in 1923. It will be when you will come to the land, you will plant every fruit tree. Zesha Amar HaKosov, line 1, that's what the pasuk says in Koheles. Asisili ganus upardesim. I made for myself gardens and orchards. Unatati boham eight kol peri. And I planted in my gardens and orchards. This is from Kohalas by Shlomo Melach. Asisili ganus upardesim. I made for myself gardens and orchards. Unatati boham eight kol peri. And I planted in these gardens and orchards the tree of every kind of fruit. So the Medrash says, the chi kol b'nei adam heicha notin kol mashum of action. Can a person plant wherever he wants any kind of fruit? Like, for example, I don't know what kind of climate or region we have, but like dates. Okay, let's say I planted a date tree. So now it's down to 32 degrees in the morning, and at night it's probably even colder. Could you just plant whatever you want, wherever you want? You have to know what climate is. It's funny that this Medrash is about peppers specifically, because yesterday I was in Costco, I was looking at the tricolor peppers. So the first bag I picked up said product of Mexico, and the second bag I picked up said product of Canada. So I said, I'm going to buy the ones from Canada, less environmental impact or whatever they call it, footprint. And I don't know, maybe they use less, I don't know, but maybe it's psychological, less pesticides. I don't know if they do or they don't. They're not organic. But Lamaisa, could you just plant whatever you want, wherever you want? V'chi kol b'nei adam heicha notin kol mashum of action. Could you just plant any kind of tree, whatever you want? I assume if I planted a date tree in my backyard, so it probably wouldn't be so good. If you go to En Gedi, you see all the palm trees, and that's the right climate. Kol mashayita adam be'eretz hunotea. Anything that a man plants, he plants in the ground. Bein pilpilin. Peppers, bein kol davar, whatever you want to plant, im yita adanheim osim, if a man plants them in the ground, they will grow. She'ein adam yodeh mekom kol netiyu netiya. Interesting, because you just plant it and you hope it's going to grow, because a person doesn't know the right place for each and every kind of plant, heichan hu notea, where he is planting it. So today, of course, we know this kind of environment is good for this, this environment is good for this, this country grows this, this country grows this. Could you just plant anything wherever you want? So you hope you get it right, but not so Shlomo. Aval Shlomo shahaya chacham, Shlomo hamelech, who was the wisest of all men, of course, natal kol minei ilanos. He didn't have to worry about, you know, agriculturally getting it wrong. Shlomo HaMelech, I moved the screen, so I'm at the end of the top line one here. About Shlomo Shahaya Chacham, Shlomo was so wise. Natal kol minei ilanos. He planted all kinds of trees. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says in Kohelas that the Medrash already quoted. Asisi li ganus upardesim. I made for myself gardens and orchards. Venatati baham eitz kol peri, and I planted trees of every kind of fruit. Mahu eats called peri. Ochal, what does it mean? Trees of every kind of fruit. Ochal, for eating. He planted things that you could eat. Amar Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai says, Afilu pilpilin nata shlomo ba'aretz. Even peppers. And this is what exactly the Medrash. This is Mamash exactly the Medrash. If you have the Sefer, look at the footnote that Rav Shimshon Pinkas quotes. Afilu pilpilin nata shlomo ba'aretz. Even peppers. So maybe it's a climate that's good for the Shivat HaMinim, right? You have Rimonim, and you have Zeitim, and you have Te'ena, and you have grapes, and you have Shemen Zayzach, which comes from the olives, another tie into Chanukah and Kislev. Pilpilin, he planted peppers. The Kate said, Hayanotan, how did he plant them? How do you plant peppers? Is there so conducive to peppers? How did he know that he could plant peppers in Eretz Yisrael? Ella, Shlomo Chacham Haya. Shlomo, of course, was the wisest of all men. V'haya yodea ikar mashtiso shel olam. So it's something that I stress all the time, that you have to try and identify shorish. For me, I just mentioned it yesterday in Ashir as well, it's a learning tool. If you come to a word and you don't know what it means, so you have to try and identify the shorish. So I wasn't sure. V'haya yodea ikar mashtiso shel olam. It's from the word lishtos, to drink. Okay, it's from the word lishtot, to drink. I'm drinking the tea. Shlomo was a wise person, and he knew ikar mashtiso shlom. He knew the ikar, the main part, the main point, where the whole world was watered, where the whole world drank from. He knew where different regions have different, where they drink from the earth, so to speak. What waters the world? Lama mitzion michlal yofi elokim hofia. So now the Medrash quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. This pasuk means from Tzion, the perfection of beauty. Mitzion michlal yofi, from Tzion, perfection, like klal, something is finished. So from Tzion comes the perfection of beauty. Elokim hofia, God has shined forth. So what does this mean? Says the Medrash, mitzion nishtach. Lel kol ha'olam kulo. From Tzion, all of the world will be perfected. Kidataninan laman. Oh, this is very interesting. Like the rabbis taught, I never knew this. I never realized. I never thought of it. Why is the place from where the world was created marked by the Evin HaShoshiyah on the Har HaBayis called Evin HaShoshiyah? Did anyone ever wonder before? Maybe you did. I don't know. Maybe you know why it's called Evin HaShoshiyah. I never did it in my life until I looked up this Medrash when I was preparing this year. Why is it called Evin HaShoshiyah? Anyone know? Well, now that I give you a whole lecture, I'm looking for the Sharashim. And I told you what Ikar Mashtiso Sha'ola means. You probably have an idea, but I'm just curious if you knew in advance, type it on the chat. I'm just interested if anyone knew why it was called Evin HaShoshiyah. I never did. Okay? Laman Ikreshma Evin HaShoshiyah. Why is the Makom from where the whole world was created called Evin HaShoshiyah, the rock of HaShoshiyah? So now you should know because I already told you. Anisho Te Ta Te. And Ikar Mashtiso Sha'ola is from the place where the earth is watered. You also did know. I didn't know. So now we know. Now you know why it's called Evin HaShoshiyah. Lama nikreshma Evin HaShoshiyah. Why is it called Evin HaShoshiyah? Now it makes sense. Shemimena hush tasa olam. Because the whole world is watered, so to speak. The whole world drinks. Oh, I moved the screen back. The whole world drinks and is watered. This is not the same. That's a Gemara that Hashem gave the world 10 measures of beauty, and Eretz Yisrael took one, and Eretz Yisrael has 10 measures of beauty. The world has 10 measures of beauty. Eretz Yisrael took 9, and Eretz Yisrael has 10 measures of beauty. Yerushalayim took 9. Hashem gave 10 measures of speech to mankind, and woman took 9. So that is totally different piece. That's a different Gemara. So let's go back. So why is it called Evin? And this is the Medrash. Why is it called Evin HaShoshiyah? Shavimene hushtasom. The world's thirst is quenched from the Evin HaShoshiyah. Evin HaShoshiyah, like water, gives life to your body. You can't live without water. That's why drought is such an emergency. Rachman alitzan. So the whole world is quenched. Our thirst is quenched. We are sustained from the Evin HaShoshiyah. We drink. The whole world drinks from that source. Amazing. Bahaya Shlomo Yodea Ezuhu Higid Shahu Holech Lichosh Venata Love Pilpulin Umiyad Hayu Osin Peros. And Shlomo Hamelech knew Ezuhu Hagid Shahu Holech Lichosh. He knew the invisible lines. I'm just looking. You could see my own notes when I was preparing this. See my handwritten notes in my Medrash Tanchuma? That's why I'm looking back away from the screen to make sure I explain to you correctly. Shlomo Hamelech knew the invisible lines, so to speak, that ran under the world, that ran to Kush, Vinata alav pilpulin, and he planted along those lines, okay, underneath the ground that ran to Kush, so he was able to take the power from there, and he planted pilpulin, umiyad hayu osin peros. So he knew agriculturally exactly where to plant the pilpulin, because this is the line on earth that runs all the way to Kush. And from there, pilpulin are able to grow. So if you plant along that agricultural line, invisible line, you'll get pilpulin. He was so smart. So he planted pilpulin, and it made peros. Shekein hu omer, like the pasuk says. Yes, the Evin HaShoshiyah is like considered the center of the world on Har HaBayis, atop Har HaMoriah. We can't go there today. The Bnei Yishmael are in charge of that space. We can't go there, but yes, that's where it is, on top of Har HaBayis. Shekein hu omer, natati behem eitz kol peri. Like the pasuk says in Kohelet, I planted trees that make all kinds of fruits. So even pilpulin Shlomo planted. How he was so wise, he understood the earth, invisible lines that ran all the way to Kush, and he knew how to harvest the power, and he planted pilpulin. Amazing. In Eretz Yisrael, running along those invisible lines. Davar achar, fascinating. Natati behem eitz kol peri. So another thing, says the Medrash, quoting the pasuk from Kohelet, I planted in my pardesim, in my ganos, I planted in my gardens and my orchards, trees of all kinds of fruits. Kishem shahatabur hazeh nasun be'emtza ha'ish. You know what that means? The navel. Just like, I'm sorry, the belly button. I know it sounds funny, but that's what the Medrash is saying. Just like the navel, hatabur hazeh nasun be'emtza ha'ish, that's the midpoint of the person's body. Kach Eretz Yisrael nasuna be'emtza ha'olam. So too, Eretz Yisrael is the midpoint of the world. Shenemar, like the pasuk says in Yechezkel, Yoshvei al Tabur Haaretz. Eretz Yisrael sits on the navel of the land, so to speak, the belly button. Eretz Yisrael is those who dwell in the middle of the earth, referring to Eretz Yisrael. Umimena mashtiso shel olam yotzei. And once again, we are told from it, from Eretz Yisrael, the center, the belly, the midpoint of the earth, all the earth's thirst is quenched. We are all sustained from the goodness, the bounty of Eretz Yisrael. So here's that word again. Shall Olam Yotze, the drink for the whole world comes out from Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, it's incredible. Shenemar, is anyone familiar with this? Did you ever hear this before? I did not until I came across a quote from Rav Pinkos and I went to look it up. It's amazing. Shenemar, Mizmar la'asaf, Kel Elokim Hashem, Dibir Vayikra Aretz, Asan to Asaf, Hashem is Elokim. He spoke and he called to the earth, Mizrach Shemesh, Ad Mevo'o, from the east where the sun is till it sets. Minayin, Mitzian. So that's telling you that Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. God called to Eretz Yisrael from the center of the world, from the east to the west. Eretz Yisrael is right in the middle. And from Eretz Yisrael, the whole world's thirst is quenched. Minayin, Mitzian, Michal Yofi, Elokim Hofia. From where do we know? Because from Tzion there is perfection. God's grandeur will shine forth. And now the Medrash concludes and tells you, Eretz Yisrael yoshevis be'emtza iso shel olam. Eretz Yisrael sits in the middle of the world. Yerushalayim, and whether this means geographically or physically, I'm not sure, because it depends the starting point on the globe. Anything could be in the middle of the world. But certainly, hashkafically and spiritually, the ikra of the olam, the center point from where everything emanates, is Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim be'emtza iso shel Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael is in the center of the world. And Yerushalayim is the center of Eretz Yisrael. Ubeis Hamikdash be'emtza Yerushalayim. This is still the same Medrash, everyone. And the Beis Hamikdash is in the middle of Yerushalayim. V'ha'heichal be'emtza Beis Hamikdash. And the heichal is in the middle of the Beis Hamikdash. V'ha'aron be'emtza heichal. In the middle of the great hallway of the Beis Hamikdash, the Aron Kodesh is in the middle. The Even Shasiya lefnei ha'aron. And the Even Shasiya, this rock from where the whole world's thirst is quenched, sits before the Aron. Shemimena nishtasa olam. That's how the Medrash tells you that the whole world's thirst is quenched from Yerushalayim. Just like the navel is in the middle of a person, so too Eretz Yisrael is in the middle of the world. Yerushalayim is in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. The Beis Hamikdash is in the middle of Yerushalayim. The Heichal, the sanctuary, the great hallway in the Beis Hamikdash, center of the Beis Hamikdash, the Aron Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim is now the center, and the Even Shasiya that sits before the Aron Kodesh, from that Even Shasiya, the whole world drinks and is sustained. Ushlomo Shahaya Chacham, and Shlomo was a wise person. Amar Al Hashosharin Hayotzi Mimena Lecholam. He understood where to stand on the roots that go out to the whole world. Nata Bahem kol mine ilanos va'asa peros, and he planted in them. Isn't this fascinating? All kinds of trees, and they made fruit. Lafichach hu omer, therefore, Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, asisi li ganus upardesim, I made for myself gardens and orchards, v'natati bem kol eitz per, and I planted all types of fruit trees in my gardens and my orchards. So Shlomo was very smart. He knew where to plant what. He knew the lines that run to Kush, and he understood that even in Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's not, you think it's not naturally conducive to pilpulin, but that's actually not true. It's very conducive to pilpulin. You just have to know where to plant. And he understood the galus of Eretz Yisrael, and from here the whole earth drinks. Just incredible. And so he planted even pilpulin in his gardens and his orchards. One second, fascinating Medrash. Okay, very nice. The spiritual counterpart to his physicality. So I don't think it means just physicality. I don't think this Medrash means that Tzion sustains the whole world physically. I don't think it's just talking about physically. I think it's talking about Even Shasiya. It's talking about a spiritual sustenance. I don't think it's just physical. I think it's a spiritual sustenance that the Medrash is talking about. So all this talk about planting trees in a garden reminds me of the first garden Shlomo planted. He asisi li ganos pardesim, and asasi bahem v'natati bahem kol eitz peri. Reminded me very much of Maisa Bereishis. Why? Because Hashem planted ganos and pardesim, and he planted in them kol eitz peri, or Maisa. So let's go back and look at Parshas Bereishis. Could you see my screen? I switched to Bereishis. Yeah, okay, very good. Thank you so much. So Hashem made the Garden of Eden, and he planted. We spent some time a few weeks ago talking about the first psukim here. Remember, Zachor, Shabbos is a Zachor and a Zikaron. We learned an incredible piece from Rav Schwab Zatzal. Okay, so look. Vayita Hashem Elokim gan be'eden mikedem. Hashem Elokim planted a garden in Eden to the east. This is very similar to that medrash. And we know we have a mitzvah. There's another medrash that tells us when you come to the land, you should plant fruit trees. There's another medrash that says you should emulate God. Just like Hashem made a garden and planted trees, so too you should come to the land and plant trees. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech did. And just like Shlomo HaMelech, or Wahavda, I should say, just like Hashem, Shlomo HaMelech planted, Vayitzmech Hashem Elokim min Adama, kol eitz nechmav l'marev, etov l'machal, Hashem in his garden planted all trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for eating, and the Eitz HaChaim b'soch hagan, and the tree of life in the middle of the garden, Be'etz HaDas tov v'ra. And he planted the tree of knowledge, good and bad. And then Hashem took Adam, v'yinecheyu began Eden l'avdu l'shamra, and created this garden, and in this garden are all kinds of fruit trees, and I'm putting you, the first man, into this garden. V'yitzav Hashem Elokim Adam l'imor, mikol Eitz HaGan ochal tochal, and Hashem Elokim commanded upon man, saying, from all trees of the garden you shall surely eat, me'etz hadas tovira lo socha mimenu, unlike Shlomo's pardesim and ganos, where you could eat from everything. From Hashem's garden, there's one tree you can't eat from. Eitz hadas tovira lo socha mimenu kibya mechacha mimenu most tembus. The tree of knowledge, good and bad, you cannot eat from it. On the day you eat from it, you will surely die. So it's extremely interesting, kasha. If you ask people, what is the first mitzvah in the Torah? So most people say one of two things. Either they say the first mitzvah in the Torah is Pru Urvu Milu Es Ha'aretz V'Kivshuha, 128, I believe. Parag Al Pasuch Avchas. 127, Hashem creates man. Yeah. And 128 is Ve'Varechu Sam Elokim V'Yarmel and Pru Urvu Milu Es Ha'aretz V'Kivshuha. Hashem blesses. It doesn't say Hashem commands man to be fruitful and multiply. It says, Vayivarech Usam Elokim. You could see it on my screen. You could see it on my screen, yes? Can you see it on my screen? Yes, thank you. Doesn't say God commanded man to be fruitful and multiply. He gave them a bracha to be fruitful and multiply. Why? So perhaps you could understand Hashem cannot command you to do something that's beyond your capacity. Lamaisa, fulfilling Pru Ervu, is not in someone's hands. It's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to do your hishtadlus to try and do Pru Ervu, but ultimately it's not up to you. It's only up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, actually, Lamed Aleph Aleph, says when we ascend to the Olam HaEmes, one of the questions we're going to be asked, or six questions will be asked in the Beis Din Shamala. One of them is Asakta Bepiria Verivia. Were you busy trying to fulfill Pru Ervu? But God can't command us to do Pru Ervu because it's not in our hands if that will be fulfilled. You could do your hishtadlus to try and fulfill the mitzvah, but ultimately it's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Pru Ervu is a blessing. 128, you see it right here. Vayivarech Osam Elokim. And God blessed them and said, Pru Ervu and Milus Arts for Kivshuha. Be fruitful, multiply, fill up the world, and conquer. So Pru Ervu is a blessing. We understand why. It's not in our hands. It's in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis 2a, that shalosh maftechos biyad Akash Baruch Hu nimsu biyad shaliach. There are three keys in the hands of God that were not given over to a shaliach. There are three keys in the hands of Hashem that were not given to a shaliach. And one of those is chaya, ability to have a child, chaya, life, childbirth. It's not given over to a shaliach. So Pru Ervu is not a tzivui, it's a bracha. You have to be osik in trying to fulfill to your maximum. Looking for the shidduch, finding your zivug hagum bekarov, being osik in Pru Ervu. That's why the sons of Yehuda were killed. They were spilling their seeds, Er and Onan. They did not want to be osik to fulfill the mitzvah. Rather, it comes to completion. It's up to God, not up to us. So that's not the first mitzvah in the Torah. Then other people say the first mitzvah in the Torah is don't eat from the tree. Now let's look back at the Pesukim that we looked at before. We're now in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezayin. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Lemor. Here we have Tzivui for the first time. By the way, this is totally not my own Ha'ara. I'm quoting from the Meshech Chachma. Meir Simcha Koin Midivinsk Zatzal. I'm going to quote his Lashon momentarily. So this is not, I did not come up with this. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Lemor. Now we have a Tzivui. Hashem Elokim commanded upon man, saying, "Mikol eitz hagan ochel tochel." What's the first tzivui in the Torah? Eat, enjoy my world. And it relates beautifully to last time's class, where we learned the Rambam about a person has to take care of themselves and eat healthy. Wheatgrass smoothies, even if something tastes sweet, good reminder for Kislev when there's a plethora of sufganiyot all over the place. Even if something tastes sweet, says the Rambam, doesn't mean you should eat it if it's not good for you. Even if something's bitter, but it's healthy, that's what you should eat. You should enjoy Hashem's world. You should be healthy to enjoy Hashem's world. Relate to the Medrash that Rav Pinchas quotes from Medrash Tanchuma Kedoshim, Siman Yud, that Shlomo HaMelech planted all kinds of trees, even pilpulin. What do you need all kinds of trees for? So man could enjoy. God planted a garden with all kinds of fruit trees. And he commanded man first, Mikol Eitz HaGan Achol Tochal. Eat from my world. Enjoy. Then, Eitz HaDas, it has to be with restriction. So while we enjoy God's world, you have to know that you have to have restriction. Mikol Eitz HaDas, so now I'm going to quote the Lashon of the Meshech Chachma. This is very piercing insight, and also it's a beautiful idea to keep in mind when we're preparing for Shabbos Kodesh. Shlomo planted all kinds. It's funny, I bought two kinds of peppers yesterday in Costco. I bought the big regular peppers that we use in salads, and then I bought the mini peppers that we like to grill or roast, whatever we like to do with olive oil and spices. So even pilpulin, everything should be enjoyed. You have to know, Shlomo knew where to plant it to access it. But just like Hashem planted a garden and told us eat, Shlomo planted a garden so we could benefit, and so too we must enjoy the fruits of Hashem's world, the bounty of God's world. And it's really impactful when you think of your preparation for Shabbos. Your Shabbos Suda should be different and more elevated than your regular Suda. Doesn't mean, like Rivka Fuchs said a couple of years ago, doesn't mean you have to have more, doesn't mean you have to have excess. But it should be tasty and beautiful. And that's actually the first mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Meshech Chachma. And now I'm quoting the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma quotes a pasuk 2:16 that we just looked at before on the screen. Mikol Eitz HaGan Ochel Tochel Vayitzav Hashem Elokim Adam Leimor. God commanded. Purvu, you can't command me. You could give me a bracha. I'm going to be asked a sakta b'piriyah v'rivya Shabbos 31a. But I can't say if I actually fulfilled it. Some people, we don't understand Hashem's cheshbonos, are not zoche to biological children. We don't know why. So you can't say, did you try? That's a blessing. But did you enjoy my world? Did you eat from the fruit of the garden? All of us have the capacity to say yes or to say no. Listen to this Meshech Chachma. Perush hu mitzvah. Meshech Chachma says the explanation of this pasuk is Mikol Eitz HaGan Ochel Tochel. This is a mitzvah lahachayos nafsho, to sustain his life, velehenos mipri hagan, to enjoy the trees from the garden, from the fruits of the garden. That's the mitzvah. Twofold. Eating is twofold. One, lahachayos nafsho, just like a car can't run without gas, your body cannot run without food, velehenos mipri hagan, and to enjoy the trees of the garden. I was recently speaking to a local doctor, 5 towns for Rockwood, and he was saying that Rahman's son, how anorexia is back in school children today, 7th grade, 8th grade, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. And the Torah Shkaf is Hashem wants us to enjoy his route. The Kamod de Amr Sof Yerushalmi de Kedushin, and now the Meshech Chachma quotes Talmud Yerushalmi, the end of Pesachas Kedushin, listen carefully. Asir Adam li tein din v'cheshbon al kol sharasa einu velo achal. In the future, this is astonishing, a person will have to give a din v'cheshbon, a judgment and accounting, for everything his eyes saw and he did not eat. Now use your seichel. It doesn't mean you're going to have to give din v'cheshbon if you didn't eat 5 donuts. It doesn't mean pork. It doesn't mean mixing basar b'chalav. Within what is permitted by Torah, we have a mitzvah to enjoy Hashem's world. Asid adam li tein din v'cheshbon al kol sharasa einu velo achal. A person will have to give an accounting for everything his eyes saw and he did not eat. And therefore, the first thing Hashem commanded is, Mikol Eitz HaGan Ochel Tochel, you should surely eat the trees. So Shlomo emulated the Rebbe Hashem. We have a mitzvah, the Halachta B'drachav. And one of those mitzvahs is just like God planted a garden. This is not me. This is what Chazal say. Just like Hashem planted a garden, you have to come there to Zohar B'chisavo al Arz. When it's Tatem Eitz Kol Pri, you have to plant a garden. And not only that, but Shlomo understood How did Shlomo Melech cause all those trees to grow and flourish? I'm just going to finish the page, Rosh Rav Pinchas. I know our time's up, but I just want to finish the paragraph. The Medrash answers the question. We already learned the Medrash inside. We're finishing page 147. Shlomo, in his great wisdom, knew the invisible lines that extend out from Yerushalayim, the heart of the world, we learned the Medrash inside, to every place on earth, and thus he planted the pepper tree on the line leading to the land of Cush, so it bore fruit right away. So, Be'ezer Hashem will continue next time. Fascinating learning. I wish everybody not only a wonderful Shabbos, but also the mitzvah planting trees, is it only in Eretz? So that's a very good question. My instinct would say yes, but I don't know. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos, and a Chodesh Kislev of Tova and Brecha and Simcha. May Afela the Ora. I thank our sponsor, wishes to remain anonymous, very, very much for this chus of sharing Torah with you this morning. Have a great Shabbos, everybody. Kol Tov, and thank you.